A faint scream lingered in the air, source unknown, echoing far longer from the narrow corridor than was explained by physical sound. Jane Zarr felt the ebb of the shrine's power the closer she came to it, while memories flocked around her trying to draw her attention. She paid them no heed, focused entirely on the call that had brought her here. It was the first time she had returned, but everything was as they had left it. Large, plain, interlocking rectangular stone slabs covered the floor of the shrine chamber. The faded, chipped paint of a mural decorated the walls. What had once been depicted could no longer be discerned, though Jane Zarr remembered well the colourful frescoes and friezes of scenes from the oldest Eldar myths, scenes from the gods' war in heaven. The ceiling was covered in a thin coating of iron, artfully decorated with threads and beads of bronze. Depending upon where one stood, one saw a different face looking down, each of the six primary aspects of Cain, the bloody-handed god. A broad pedestal dominated the centre of the room, its top, at waist height, inset with an intricate pattern of runes ornamented with bright crystals. The runes and gems had their own glow, six patches of blue, green, red, black, grey and white. Upon the middle of the pedestal was set a single globe, roughly the size of two fists together, swirling with white fog. Her eye was immediately drawn to Asurman, who stood at the sky-blue rune of the Dire Avenger, clad in azure and white plate. His long sword hung at his hip, the spirit stone in its pommel dimmed for the moment. Vambraces containing shuriken catapults sheathed his forearms, his head concealed within a high-crested helm, with an angular, fierce mask. Beside the rubies embedded in the sanctum table waited another, his armour the hues of shifting flame. Across his chest he held a weapon with a long barrel of gleaming silvery gold, matching the detail on his war gear. A firepike that could penetrate the thickest armour and vaporise bone and flesh in an instant. A triangular bladed axe, the air around its head distorted by the shimmer of heat, was in his other hand. Overlapping dragon scales hung as a heavy loincloth, matched to other scaled armour in his war suit. The Phoenix Lord's helm was flanked with broad projecting crests, their shadow long and dark. The air around the figure was distorted by haze, waves of anger emanating like physical heat. This was Fugan, the burning lance, the rune of the fire dragon, a scarlet gleam upon the pedestal before him. Opposite waited Maugan Ra, black clad, his battle gear set with the likeness of bones and skulls. The Harvester of Souls was armed with the Maugatar, a shuriken cannon fitted with a scythe-like blade. The crystal before him burned with black flame. Karandras was clad in green armour, one hand engulfed by a gem-studded claw like that of a scorpion, a long tooth-edged chainblade in the other. The jade glow of his rune dappled the ceiling. Their voices were so familiar, as if they had parted only moments before, yet all of them had changed so much since that terrible day. Jane Zarr paused a moment longer in the shadows to listen.
"We do not speak of our outer lives in this place," Asurman said sharply.
Karandras withdrew at the rebuke. His rune faded into dullness to plunge the Shadow Hunter into darkness.
"Apologies, Shrine Father. I meant no discord."
His voice was a whisper in the gloom.
"I will speak no more of the outer world and the time beyond."
Asurman accepted the apology with a nod and beckoned Karandras to take his place properly. Jane Zarr made her presence known. "Your tempered manner has always been an inspiration, Hand of Asurian." Her armour was the colour of black and bone. She carried a long glaive with a silver head, and a bladed triskele hung at her hip. Three quick strides brought her fully into the chamber. May it guide us well on this momentous occasion. Jane Zarr stood to Asurman's right, within arm's reach of the dais. The runes of her aspect glowed with a clear white. Above her, the face of Cain took on the aspect of the banshee, the horrific face of the bloody-handed one, screaming its rage amid a curl of writhing vipers for hair.